Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the United Steelworkers and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and we appreciate their support. Joining me today from Workers Independent News, we've got Frank Emspach. Frank, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. Hope everything's okay.
Absolutely, Frank. How are you?
All right. It's an interesting news week for sure.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've got unionization votes going on down in Mississippi at the Nissan plant.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you got Doug's report, but it's available. He was just interviewed people down there a little while ago, and I can send that to you if you need it. So he's down there in Canton, and he'll be down there until the vote's cast, I guess by the end of the workday tomorrow, and be interviewing people.
There you go. It's exciting. So what is Doug reporting from Canton?
Well, he interviewed people involved in the campaign, and basically the union is very, very optimistic. They feel that the momentum is with them, that the company has overstepped its bounds in their anti-union attack. Of course, the National Labor Relations Board agreed with that, and that people are beginning to say that the promises that Nissan had made over the years are increasingly hollow, in particular in regards to pensions and long-term security. And they don't seem to be, and according to the union people, they don't seem to be as, I guess, terrified or swayed by the attack, saying if the union wins, the implication being we'll leave. I don't think people are falling for that in the union's opinion. Now, there is a substantial anti-union movement there as well. So nobody feels that this is in the bag or that it's, you know, going to be a 90% vote or anything like that. But the union people feel that, unlike other times, the momentum is with them, and that people are not as intimidated as in the past.
You know, Frank, it's strange to me that Nissan is unionized everywhere else in the world.
Correct.
Except for the United States.
Right.
Same thing for Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen. Toyota, same thing. Very strong unions in their home country.
Correct.
And then they come to the United States because, you know, there's tax breaks for manufacturing here in the United States. And all of a sudden, the companies are fighting the unions.
Well, that's right. You know, from the German point of view, it's very interesting. I was talking to some people in the union movement there and in the companies, actually, a couple of years ago. I was curious how they characterized coming to the United States. And they said, well, it's a relatively low-wage, high-skill workforce. Why not? That was BMW and basically Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz in particular had that opinion. And so they sort of see the workforce here as docile, as low-paid, and as, you know, relatively high-skilled. So it's sort of like the way maybe American workers used to look at people from Mexico or someplace. But it's the same idea, and the companies feel they can make more money here. The other thing that's driving some of the investment, of course, like with Foxconn, is coming closer to the customer, less craziness in terms of the distribution mechanisms. But anyway, I think that Nissan's been there for 14 years. It's a modern plant. I think that most workers recognize that a threat to move billions of dollars of capital like that is probably a fake. But, of course, you know, it does scare people. There's no question about that. And hopefully not enough. And I think that what we're going to see in Nissan, I certainly hope so at this point, is a union victory. And I believe that will be a major shift in the South. And I think everybody sees this. I mean, in the Wall Street Journal today, as well as in the other major papers, there was recognition that if the UAW wins here, it's a game changer. Or at least potentially so, and I believe that that puts tremendous pressure on everybody, and hopefully it will work out.
Absolutely. Also, some very interesting things going on with Wisconsin, Foxconn, Governor Walker, and, you know, again, treating American workers like they're third world chattel.
Well, exactly. But so more amazing about it here, first of all, the the Republicans are not all in lockstep on this. Very interesting. Some of them because of fiscal reasons, just cost too much, and others for whatever reasons, I don't know. But the interesting thing here is that we have examples of the state aiding economic development. Okay, we have here Epic, the largest sort of information system for hospitals, and it employs 8,000 people. It's got a huge campus. The whole city has been transformed by this in a certain way. It's the largest employer now, private employer, and the total amount of money put in was several million dollars by the state, several million dollars, not billions, and this has produced a tremendous growth in jobs here, right? So why would you put in $3 billion to get fewer jobs? That's basically what's going on here. And so people are beginning to say, not only, people like me who are saying this is just stupid economic development policy, it's economic bankruptcy policy, other people are saying, gee whiz, wait a minute. How come they were able to do all this and Foxconn can't? And in addition to that, Foxconn wants to destroy the environmental protections, go after this, that, and the other thing. And why are we doing this? Without a guarantee, you should know.
Right. And the amount of money that the taxpayers were going to have to foot the bill to get Foxconn to come in, it was like $1 million a job.
It's really, yeah. And the other thing that came out, and we reported on this, as did the CBS yesterday and today, a lot of the workers that were hired to do construction of some of these new plants were actually people that were brought in specifically under the H-1B visa program, claiming there weren't American construction workers available. Okay, so this has also been a scandal here in the state with another company that our organization reported on a couple of years ago. And the thing here, of course, is that it's overtly political. I mean, we have an election in a couple of years. And my prediction is that the day after the election, we're going to find out that Foxconn is busy elsewhere. But in the meantime, of course, you have President Trump and you have Walker saying, saying that, and Congressman Ryan, because it's in his district. What a surprise. Not where the unemployment is, which is 20 miles to the north in Milwaukee. Okay, but anyway, you have an overtly political deal going on here, which the taxpayers asked to pay for. And I think people don't like it. It's a lousy economic development proposal. It does not create jobs, but more importantly, it doesn't create wealth for the state of Wisconsin or the people in it. It takes wealth away. And that's the wrong way to go.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Well, we can see that all over. I think the other issue, which nobody knows he's talking about, is the relationship between Trump's so-called infrastructure. Remember that, right? That was his big deal. And a lot of it is public-private partnerships, but none of it has moved past the talking stage. But all of a sudden, bam, $3 billion for some company. That's past the talking stage. That's in the legislative hearing stage today here.
Mm-hmm.
And the AFL-CIO, of course, has been quite clear about their vision of an economic development plan, which is clearly different than this. And I think that, people are beginning to say, well, wait a minute here. But maybe this is how Trump wants to do his infrastructure thing, pay off some company billions of dollars or have somebody else do it. And then eventually, nothing happens.
I don't know what to tell you, Frank, other than the fact that I think the more that the public hears about it, the more the taxpayers come to the understanding that they're being shilled,
yes.
The more shilled they're going to push
word.
Back. Yeah,
shilled
yeah, and that's what it is. I mean, Wisconsin taxpayers are paying Foxconn $1 million a job that pays $50,000.
Well, that's the average. We don't know what the pay is. We've spent all week, our organization has spent all week trying to investigate what the actual jobs are. The $53,000 is an average. So if you have several engineers or managers paid at $100,000, you can have an awful lot of workers paid at $15 an hour or $30,000 without benefits.
Yeah, but when when it's all said and done, the average worker making $50,000 a year will work for 20 years, and there's your $1 million. So Foxconn has gotten free labor for 20 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
At the taxpayer's expense. That's
absolutely
the point.
So, yeah, you know, my crack the other day is, why don't we just cut out the middleman and the state should just pay the workers, you know?
Yeah, but, well, you know, and we saw how that worked out over in Russia, yeah, but that's another story.
Right.
So, you know, long and short of it is where my question is what kind of kickback is Walker getting?
He gets to get reelected.
You think?
Yeah, sure. I mean, his whole thing is, I'm the great, you know, job creator, and it's been a total bust up until now. And what's he going to run on? He and Ryan, both of them, and remember, it's Ryan's district, where you had a strong labor candidate. In fact, two strong candidates, and, you know, we'd find out who in the primary. But the fact of the matter is, legitimate challengers to Walker and to Ryan were emerging. And this really makes it much harder, because he's going to run on the basis that I created these jobs. If it wasn't for my brilliant negotiating with these people, we wouldn't have, you know, thousands of jobs here in the state of Wisconsin. That's what the campaign is. Everybody sees this now. This is a political deal, you know, more than just an economic development deal. And it isn't just Walker and Ryan. It's Trump. So, you know, you have what amounts to a taxpayer-paid, campaign here. That's what's going to happen. And they're going to run on the basis that we created these jobs. We've been able to do in the unions. This is not a unionized construction site. We have flexibility. We've created jobs. This is the way to go. Put us in office. And so my comment is basically, we'll see what happens the day after election with all this stuff, since Foxconn has a reputation for disappearing when it comes to actually putting up the cash.
Yeah, and what are you going to do about it? But that's another
story. That's right. We'll have these guys back in office again.
Yeah.
That's the danger here with these people.
Frank, we got to get going, and I appreciate you being with us today. It was Frank Emspach of Workers Independent News. I'm Charles Showalter, and you're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.